streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Welcome in. Monday Night Football over. Time to talk about it on a Tuesday. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, will the Jaguars make the Herd hierarchy? Will the Packers make the Herd hierarchy? Our top 10 NFL teams. It is great to have you in, J-Mac. So this is it's your typical Cowboys standalone Monday Night Football game. They win. Everybody's very excited.
Yeah. Cooper Rush looked fantastic. He's not making mistakes, Colin. That's all you need him to do.
We liked the Cowboys yesterday.
Another winner, this show.
We liked the Cowboys to win. So let's start the show talking about that. If you are a Cowboy fan, you should feel pretty good. Let's be honest. You were on the road, and it was about as revved up as a New York crowd has been in a long time. You had a backup quarterback. You didn't play great football, tons of penalties. CeeDee Lamb dropped a pass, probably would have been a touchdown. O-line still not healthy. I mean, you're using backups. And in division, you won. So let's start with that. Anytime you win back-to-back games with a backup quarterback, especially on the road, feels great. Also, the pass rush against the Bengals and the Giants, that is now an area of strength. DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons was about 75%. Great pass rush against the Bengals, against the Giants. That is clearly now an area of strength. I think it's the strength of the team. But this is a 4 or 5 year trend. We talked about this with Green Bay. You roll a couple of dysfunctional in-division teams like the Giants and Washington. Here comes Washington for the Cowboys, and they're going to roll them, and the fans buy in. Oh, man, this team is... But you look around and you think to yourself, I've been watching this for 4 or 5 years. And Green Bay, we talked about this. Dallas and Green Bay are these massive brands, make us feel good about the NFL. They got a lot of fans that didn't even grow up there, so they make a lot of noise. And they've got a couple of wildly dysfunctional teams in their organization, in their division. Lions and the Bears, and every time they have a bad game, they just happen to be playing one of those teams often at Lambeau. And the network puts it on because the network loves Green Bay and they love the rivalry with the Bears, so they put it on television and they roll. And the networks love the Cowboys and Giants, and oh, that's going to get a rating. You get New York's media market and the big star with the Cowboys, and they roll them every time because the Giants are dysfunctional. And so this is the reality of what happens. Networks put the Packers and the Cowboys on these standalone games with their dysfunctional in-division rivals, and you forget about what they looked like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I mean, this is the seventh straight divisional win for the Cowboys. If you take out the Dak injured year, the Cowboys are 20-4 in their division since 2017, and they're often on television, and they're often the Sunday night game or the Monday night game. Or the big Fox game. The nation's watching. They're dysfunctional. The networks love the Cowboys-Giants. You get the New York market. You get the Cowboys. They love the Packers-Bears. You get the Chicago market. But we know the Packers and the Cowboys, in the last 10 years, they always feel like they kind of come up short. But their fans, everybody for Dallas is buying in this morning. And I'm sorry, I'm an outsider. So I'm sorry if I cannot put you in the class of the Bills or the Ravens or the Rams or the Chiefs. Or, I can't do it. I mean, you got to feel good about winning on the road when you drop the touchdown. You had a backup quarterback. It was a hostile environment. But boy, does this feel like a rinse and repeat to me. Not to be Mr. Negative. But yes, they rolled the Giants. And yes, the Packers roll the Bears, but neither one of them has a quarterback that will probably be playing in their city in 3 years, 2 years, or for Daniel Jones, maybe next year. Mike McCarthy after.
Just love the division win, the complimentary football that we played today. You know, it's always refreshing, you know, long week. And, you know, you come up here and, you know, you're in a hotel all day and, but I just think our guys did a really good job executing the game plan, staying after it. And but yes, I mean, excellent win on the road.
Pass rush, excellent. Micah Parsons, star. CeeDee Lamb has star potential. Trayvon Diggs, similarly. But again, I caution Packer fans after clobbering the Bears, and I'll caution Cowboy fans after rolling the New York Giants. We've been on this thing for like 7 years. Standalone Giant Cowboy game. Standalone Packer Bear game. We know who wins. We know the reaction. At the end of the year, we also know the result. Disappointment. All right, let's talk New York Giants. Listen. First of all, the crowd was great. I've said it. It's just better when the Yankees win. Baseball's better when the Yankees win. Even the second team in town, when the Mets win. It's fun. It's better when the Knicks win. The Garden's electric. That crowd last night was great. New York is football starved. Here's the good news. I think you've got the right coach. He's an offensive coach. He's authentic. He's relatable. He has a track record of making quarterbacks better. So I think you have the right coach. And I know of all the boxes you have to check in the NFL, you got the left tackle right. The rest of the O-line stinks, but you got the left tackle right. And I think you got the head coach right. So in all of the things you have to check, the 7 or 8 boxes you have to check in the NFL, culture, coach, quarterback, you've got an I think and an I know, and that's it. You don't have to have a great running back, and Saquon's really good. But you can keep making excuses. Well, the offensive line wasn't good. Josh Allen's until this year, offensive line wasn't very good. He made plays. He got into the end zone. Until this year, I didn't like the Bills' offensive line. Well, his receivers are dropping the ball. The receiving crew's not good. Lamar Jackson would be MVP today. He lost Hollywood Brown. Great quarterbacks make stuff happen. I've seen Daniel Jones. He's 14-26. Go ahead and keep blaming the offensive line. Last year, Lamar Jackson lost Ronnie Stanley, 3 running backs. And Baltimore was the number one seed before Lamar Jackson got hurt. Josh Allen came into this league. He still doesn't have a dependable running game. Still, the offensive line the first 3 years was a mess. He got into the end zone. Daniel Jones is one of those guys where if the protection is perfect, where nobody drops any passes, when it's a clean pocket, when everything's lined up and every player's lined up, he's okay. That's not the NFL. It's like when you hire a babysitter. Yes, if my children were always well-behaved when they were five, it would be perfect. But one of them will light something on fire. Somebody will run out in the yard and you'll have to find them. One will bring a big snake into the basement. If you're a babysitter and have five-year-old kids, it's not going to be perfect unless they go to bed by the time you get there. So you better get a good babysitter. It's the same with a quarterback. I was talking to Joe Burrow yesterday afternoon. He's like, you go to the line, one of the receivers is in the wrong space, left guard misses his assignment, you got to audible at the line because the protection's not set for the play, you look at the clock, you're on the road in New York, and it's down to four, make it happen. Lamar does, Josh Allen does, Joe Burrow does. Joe Burrow's protection stunk all last year. He got to the Super Bowl, he got sacked 51 times. Or was it 71? Or was it 101? He got to the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert set rookie records his first year. It was the second worst offensive line in the league. It's one thing if you're Dak and you walk in and Zeke's a rookie and the O-line's amazing and you got Jason Garrett, an offensive coach, and you go 13-3 and the world's perfect. How do the Cowboys look now? The offensive line's a mess and Amari Cooper is gone and Zeke is washed. That's what you need at quarterback. Yes, Brian Daboll's getting the most out of him. Yes, receivers dropped the ball. Yes, outside of left tackle, the offensive line is dubious. Look at what Lamar's facing week to week. Good God, Matt Stafford right now. Andrew Whitworth retires. Their very good center's gone. OBJ, they didn't re-sign him. Allen Robinson, is he washed? Cam Akers keeps fumbling. And they win. I mean, you're looking, yes, when things are all perfect and the pocket is clean and you have time to, well, that receiver fell. Yeah, receivers fall all the time. And that receiver dropped a pass. Do you know in the last 4 years what quarterback has dealt with the most drops? Patrick Mahomes. Brady second. Drops are part of it. O-line miscues and inefficiencies are part of it. You got to make plays. You got to get into the end zone. So the good news is I think Daboll's the right guy, and he'll get the best out of Daniel Jones. But when everything works perfectly on a play, it's okay. It's okay. Here's Brian Daboll after.
I thought he did a good job keeping his eyes downfield when he could get out. You know, he made a couple plays there at the end, you know, that we couldn't quite convert on. Hit some drop passes. You know, the last play that Diggs picked off, Sills fell down, and it was a timing throw. Again, I think he's making progress. You know, it's tough after a loss. You know, nobody did well enough, and we understand that.
Yes, he's making progress. I hope so. He finally has a competent coach. I don't care about progress. I don't care about making progress. Make plays. Get into the end zone. Lamar does. Three running backs hurt. Left tackle gone. Best receiver leaves. Right now, he'd be the MVP. Last year was the number one seed before he got hurt. Josh Allen's first 2 years. They still don't have a running game. His O-line was a mess first 2 years in. He was from Wyoming. He didn't even play in a Power 5 conference. The speed of the game was like lightning to him. He just made plays. We don't even know if Cliff Kingsbury can coach. 3 years, boom, 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 boom. Kyler got better. Stumbling this year, but boom, 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 got better. But making progress, that's a given. That's like saying, you know, I bought a house and the roof doesn't leak. Look at Jalen Hurts' progress. Nobody's talking about Jalen Hurts making progress. You know what we're talking about? Damn, he's good. Damn, he makes plays. Wow, he gets in the end zone. I'm not interested in your progress. I'm interested in making plays. And he's a guy, okay? Nice guy, likable guy, probably a backup guy. 45 minutes from now, herd hierarchy. Will the Jags sneak in? Jags are pretty interesting. McIntyre called it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
For endless hot water, 15-year limited warranty, choose Navien. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. So Davante Adams was a Packer, and there's an argument to be made, I would buy into it, that he's as good a receiver as the league has. He's really, really good. And he and Aaron Rodgers, for the last 2 or 3 years, it was like that was the couple. Like that was the quarterback receiver combo. They did the back shoulder. They liked each other. They were trustable. He's really hardworking. And then he decides to go to the Raiders. He played college football with Derek Carr. Vegas, there's a lot more to do. Closer to family. I got it. I get it. And I still think it'll be fine. But he talked over the weekend. He is frustrated and angry how things are working out for him.
Frustrated and angry. Expect more. I mean, it's not easy to win in this league, so we know that, and nobody's naive to the fact that it's not, nobody's just going to lay down and just give you a victory. But at the end of the day, we expect more, and we'll do better as we move forward.
Okay, this is early in the process, and there's no right or wrong here. First of all, they may have been one of those combos where nobody wins the divorce. I mean, Green Bay has one touchdown in the second half in three games. One. They need him. The reigning MVP, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are 27th in scoring, behind the Jets, behind the Texans. So, like, Green Bay was way better with him, and they were a way more lethal team in the second half with him when Aaron's rolling out, stuff breaks down, and you just need a trustable dude. But Devontae Adams chose a perpetually poorly run franchise with a head coach who had failed his previous gig, with a less talented quarterback, though I like Derek Carr, and a historically bad O-line. You have to go back to like the 70s or 80s since we last loved the Raiders' offensive line. So now this wasn't Kevin Durant leaving the Warriors. The Packers aren't the Warriors title-wise. But it was taking a step back in organizational functionality. So again, let's contextualize it. I think it'll work out. Aaron's going to win a bunch of games. Carr and Devontae are going to be just fine eventually. But when I chose Fox Sports, I considered everything. And if you consider the Raiders over the Packers, you have to consider everything. And the Raiders over the last several years, turmoil, stranger things, weirdness, instability, it's part of the everything. It's part of their everything. And so, and I think Devontae Adams did something that I've warned people about. Maybe I've made this mistake sometimes. I don't know. I don't think I have. But he tried to get happier than happy. I mean, Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers in that easy division, making all that money, the Packers were going to pay him. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good life. There's a worse life than playing with Aaron Rodgers in a lousy division, making a lot of money. I mean, Devontae's not a party guy. It's a quiet town. He's not out there. You know, I mean, this guy's total pro, putting in the hours, head down, working by himself. He's not worried too much about the lights of Vegas, right? Like, he had a really happy life. I've seen this before. Carmelo Anthony was in Denver. They got to the Western Conference Final. He was the star. He got all the press. He got all the love. The fans loved him. They won. And he's like, I want to get happier. And he went to the Knicks. His career, I mean, he was going like this in Denver. A good roster. And I saw, by the way, we've seen this with Kevin Durant. He's winning titles. Steph's like, you take the game-winning shot. And Kevin Durant's like, I'm happy. I want to get happier. It's hard. And so, again, there is no winner and loser here. Green Bay, obviously, their second-half numbers will tell you. Devontae and Aaron were great off script, where they could look at each other and they just knew this is the back shoulder. Aaron doesn't trust those young receivers, and they may never have that ability. So they're not the Green Bay is not nearly as frightening to play. If you lead Green Bay in the second half of a football game, they don't have that cleanup hitter. They just don't. Aaron doesn't trust his receivers. And I don't think going from Green Bay and their high functionality, they're not perfect, but it's a pretty well-run operation. To the Raiders, consider everything. It's going to be bumpy. If you look at the Raiders' schedule, here's the good news. By mid to late October, you do have some games where it could get a little easier. Opening up at the Chargers, Tennessee, Arizona. Now you got Denver at the Chiefs. We probably could have predicted this. I picked the Raiders for fourth. It was going to be a really rough September and early October. But there's some, not layups, but you do got Houston, Indianapolis, Seattle, New England's offense. There's some stuff around the corner where you can get right, and I think eventually they will offensively. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
It started with Arizona and Kyler Murray. Colin, we've talked about this on the show. Arizona's offense doesn't show up in the first half. Like, Cliff Kingsbury's game plans have been terrible. They've been outscored 56-13 in the first half, have one touchdown so far in the first half this season. Kyler Murray explained his message to his teammates after the loss.
I tell guys all the time, always, like, never, you know, never, you got to be awake playing with me. Like, I mean, it's, no matter what the play is, I got free reign to do whatever, get into whatever. So when you're asleep and you don't think you're getting the ball, it's, you know, it's we can't play like that. We everybody's gotta, you know, everybody's gotta be lit up, you know, in the game, locked in, and we just gotta be better, and we will be. But again, it's frustrating when you lose. When you feel like you could, you know, could have played better, could be in the game.
Who's he talking about there?
Well, Green Bay struggles to score in the second half. Why? They don't have Devontae. Feels explainable. Arizona can't score in the first half. Why? The preparation thing feels explainable. Like, when you see things over and over and over happen, there's usually an explanation. We've talked about this with the Bills. They can't win close games. They don't have a running game. They can't eat the clock. You know, they're skiing down the hill 140 miles an hour. So there's usually, I don't know if there's a solution for this that's a realistic solution, but there's a reason it keeps happening over and over. Stuff that doesn't happen randomly.
I would say that maybe the video game stuff we talked about, remember with Kyler Murray?
You said
somebody
that.
Texted me, an Arizona radio station picked up our story and has started digging into Kyler Murray, video game enthusiast. Like, what's he doing during the week? Is he seriously playing video games all day?
Well, you can monitor that, right?
I'm going to go no comment on that. I'll just say this, Colin. Arizona is great as a road dog, right? They are road dogs in Carolina. Last year, Cliff Kingsbury, 6-1 away from home as an underdog. You like them this week?
What don't you take on the road? Maybe your entire video game console?
It's possible.
Is that possible?
I think there's a good spot for Kyler Murray against his former buddy, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
All right, next up, the Jags. We're talking about some off-market teams here. Jags went from worst record in the league to leading their division through three games. Doug Peterson, your guy, has been incredible. Trevor Lawrence has been outstanding there. 2-1, huge game against the Eagles this week. And Trevor Lawrence says this is a different Jags team than last year's group.
Obviously, just I think the way we've played, you can't deny that we're a really good team. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what it says about us. We know who we are. Our only goal on Sunday is to go win the game. And what other people think about us doesn't really matter. Every week we're going to prepare the same way. We're going to be ready to play, and we got a bunch of competitors. So it's been a lot of fun.
Listen, they got him an offensive coach. They spent a lot of money on receivers. You and I've always felt this way, and I'm sure you do too. I root for all these young quarterbacks to work because I love football, but I don't love watching bad quarterback football. Right? Like, there are teams in this league right now. Joe Flacco and the Jets are not a good watch. Now, Zach Wilson and the Jets could be. The Giants aren't a great watch.
They're a bad watch.
So, like, I love football, but I don't love all football. The best teams to watch in college have NFL quarterbacks. So, it's like, in the end, they are giving him a chance. Like, with that free agent spending, that coach, if he doesn't work now, that's on him, because he's got more than enough weapons. And I just like, it's fun to watch this young, talented guy get a fair shot at succeeding.
I was on Jacksonville the last 2 weeks. This defense is flying around.
It
the
is.
Kid Lloyd out of Utah, I know you're a big Pac-12 guy.
No, he was the best linebacker in the conference.
One of the best graded out linebackers in the league through three games. Devin Lloyd has been outstanding. I'll say this. I know you like the Chargers. You got people there. Looked like that team kind of quit in the second half.
Did you hear what happened in the Chargers locker room?
It sounded like the locker room was, they just
split.
Cleaned out. Everybody's like, I'm out of here. Listen, after that James Robinson 50-yard touchdown run, I think it was 4th-and-1. He just peeled off. Nobody touched him. The Chargers just, it looked like the energy was out of the room. Everybody's hurt. They go to Houston this week. That line's come down 2.5 points already, Colin. That I don't want to talk Brandon Staley's job security, but this is a big spot for the Chargers.
It is. You're right.
All right, let's wrap up. Let's wrap up with some NBA, shall we? Media day yesterday. You know, media day where everybody's gotten stronger, and James Harden's lost 25 pounds, best shape of his life.
I know Harden looked. He
looks
did.
Svelte. Can I say that?
Yeah. Zion looked pretty good.
Zion always looks great in the off season. You know, he's not eating. Let's get to the Lakers, though. Of course, everybody cares about them. Anthony Davis had some insight into the team's mindset. The Lakers are now underdogs, according to Anthony Davis.
All right.
I think it just takes time. You know, we're able to sit down and talk this offseason just about, like, okay, what worked, what didn't work. And hopefully we can, all the things that didn't work, kind of figure it out. Obviously, new system, new coach. You know, all of us have a chip on our shoulder. And I think it's going to be a great year for us, but, you know, we can't. It's not just going to be given to us. We got to go take it, and we got to, you know, starts tomorrow, just coming in and just working each and every day.
You know, sometimes teams are good, and other times they're just really interesting. I will say this, I've been more critical of all the LA teams. I've been on the Lakers harsh for 2 years. Front office, ownership, roster. They are interesting. The Schroeder, Westbrook, Pat Beverly backcourt.
Must see TV.
You have three guys past their prime who are all kind of rigid, have a strong point of view in life. That thing is TNT. That thing is, and I'm not talking about the network.
Yeah.
That thing is totally combustible. I do think if Anthony Davis plays 70 games this year of the 82, it's a good basketball team. LeBron is still, when he's on the floor, take Giannis out. He's as good as anybody else in the league at any one point. Now, I'm not going to get 74 games from him, but take Giannis out. LeBron's healthy. It's a Tuesday night. He's as good as anybody else in the league on the floor for 32 minutes.
Did you see Pat Bev said Russell Westbrook is his best buddy in the locker room? Right. They're now a chummy, Colin. By the way, hey, you need to rest up for November because this Lakers potential implosion with the World Cup and the NFL and college football, just strap in. Like, it's good because I'm some of this Nets stuff, I don't know if we'll get to later in the show, what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets already, Kyrie and Kevin Durant, like Lakers, November is going to be wild.
Put that net stuff in the herdline. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
So, I like data, and I'm kind of a nerd that way, and I like finding trends, and I'm always reading lists and studies and trends. So, the Patriots, according to sources, Mac Jones is going to be out for a month, high ankle sprain, really ugly. Pretty predictable mess in New England, right? Everybody kind of felt like, outside of like diehard Patriots fan, this isn't going to work. Defensive coordinator to offensive coordinator, Joe Judge maybe calling plays. This isn't going to work, especially with a young quarterback who needs the feel and the touch and the support. So the Mac Jones thing, obvious. I went and looked this morning. The seven lowest rated passers in the NFL. And I want it for our radio audience. I'm going to read this. Seven lowest rated. Jameis Winston, defensive coach. Joe Flacco, defensive coach. Davis Mills, defensive coach. Mitch Trubisky, defensive coach. Matt Ryan, offensive coach. They showed life last week. Mac Jones, defensive coach. Justin Fields, defensive coach. I've been on this for 2 years now. It's not a coincidence. Okay, Mac Jones, without Josh McDaniels, an offensive guy, has regressed badly. He's awful now. Justin Fields has 23 completions in three games. Yet, who's exploded? Trevor Lawrence, new offensive coach, exploded. Tua, new offensive coach, exploded. Jalen Hurts, same offensive coach, growing, ascending, exploding. I said it with the Jets. Robert Saleh, unproven defensive coach with a kid from BYU. Whoa. That is a huge risk. For the record, Jameis Winston, last year with Sean Payton, a 102 passer rating. A few months later with a defensive coach, he's a disaster. Passer rating in the high 70s. So there are two major fundamental changes that have happened in football America at every level. Safety. Because of the, here are the two big changes. Because of the lawsuit for CTE, because of the safety concerns. High school football, you're hitting less. College football, they'll throw you out of games if you hit a game high. Hit a guy high. They'll throw you right out of games. NFL, you can't hit quarterbacks. Now you can't hit anybody over the middle. What does that mean? The game has gotten more finesse, more offensive leaning. What does that mean? This is the second part. Players and kids always see the trends early. They're on social. They're talking to friends. The two positions now, in football, high school, college, and pro that are exploding with talent, quarterback and wide receiver. You get the fame, you get the girls, you get the money, and you can't hit them. You can't hit receivers anymore. You can't hit quarterbacks. So I get the big money. I get the endorsements. I get the fame. You can't hit me. You go look at high school recruiting in California over the last 5 years. There's no running backs available. The state produces no running backs. If you go look at 2024 Rivals recruiting of the top 100 players, I swear to God, there are 35 receivers and 10 quarterbacks, like 40%. Nobody wants to play in the interior O-line. Nobody wants to be running back. So we got these big, big cultural changes. The best athletes that want to play football, they want to play two positions. And if they can't play quarterback, they're a big guy, or they're not talented enough to play wide receiver, then they want to play corner or edge rusher, because you can get sacks, you can get fame. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just saying this is what, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. If I was a young 16-year-old that was talented, I want to play quarterback and wide receiver. I don't get hit, and I have a chance to play longer and get the money. Of course I want to play that position. I could have been a sports writer. I chose radio and TV. Like, I get it. Part of the reason was I thought it was a cooler job. So I think when you start looking around this league right now, the seven lowest passer ratings are six defensive coaches. Rules have changed because of fear. Roger Goodell's biggest fear is a death on the field. They are taking away big hits in college. They're taking them away in the NFL. Concussions, moms don't want their young boys to play football, right, in some parts of the country. So it's like, let's make the game safer. You got seven-on-seven leagues. You got flag football leagues everywhere. And what it means is more offense, more great quarterbacks, more passing, more star wide receivers. That's why betting's gotten harder. I was talking to a gambling guy a couple weeks ago. I said it used to be if you had a 10-point lead with 5.5 to go, you won the bet, you won the game. Teams can catch up so fast now because the wide receiver, Cincinnati's got two star receivers. The Buccaneers, when they're healthy, have three or four. That's never the way it was. It was like Jerry Rice played for the Niners. He was great. At one point, they even had John Taylor, a second good receiver. San Francisco now, Debo's a star. Brandon Ayuk's a star. George Kittle's a star. This Danny Gray kid could be a star. People like Jennings. Teams have 3 and 4 and 5 targets, and it's only going to explode. So that's why I say, you hire Robert Saleh, Matt Eberflus. I'm not saying they can't coach. Good luck, especially with a young quarterback. Maybe it's different if you have Peyton Manning in his 13th year or Brady in his 50th. Brady with Todd Bowles, that's fine. Tom's got his way of doing business. That's okay. That's fine to me. Tom Brady with a defensive coach. By the way, Josh Allen is at a point in his career now. He's been here 4 or 5 years. Defensive coach, you just need a good coach. You know, you get to a point in your career, you know, Patrick Mahomes at this point, if you gave him a defensive head coach, he's still going to be fine. But those first 2, 3.5 years, you give a young guy a defensive coach, you lose the offensive coordinator, it is punitive.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Sunday, it's a classic NFC East rivalry on Fox as Carson Wentz leads Washington against Zeke and the Cowboys for other regional action. It all kicks off Sunday at 1 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
I'm going to take the under on Bears-Giants.
Whatever it is.
Way to go out on a limb, Colin. Yeah, I think the under's 21 there.
He's my guy, Matt Mosley, Cowboy Insider. Doomsday Podcast is fantastic, covering the Cowboys for 19, 20 years. Okay, let's start with the Dak Cooper Rush thing. I think Dak's better, but there's a lot of talk on the internet. Cooper Rush does the simple things. He's accurate. He gets the ball out. He doesn't move around. He's working right now. You know, he and CeeDee Lamb looked pretty slick last night. There is no quarterback controversy, Mosley, right? None, right?
Trying to do this, and one of your buddies I was seeing, Middlecoff, was out there last night trying to get some kind of controversy going. It's not going to happen. You're paying the guy $40 million. It's not like the Romo thing. Romo, it was at the end of his career, but it has shocked everyone, including fans, Jerry, everybody, how well Cooper Rush has played. So I do think he's functioning extremely well. The best thing he does is he doesn't turn the ball over, and that's the back-breaking thing. And in a game like that, you know, a team desperately needs you to help them. That kind of anemic offense where the Giants, I heard you just joking about them, you know, their whole offense is based on, well, maybe the quarterback can run for 80 or 90 yards. That's a losing proposition when there's no way to get the ball downfield. So I mean, they feel great about Cooper Rush, and it's allowed Dak, if they were losing these games, I promise you, Dak may have had that stitch taken out like 3 days ago. They might have ramped this up even more, and they've been able to settle down and be a little patient with this process.
Yeah. For the record, when CeeDee Lamb dropped that first pass, I almost went to social and said, is he a one? Because we know he's talented. He was great at Oklahoma, and then he made that great catch later, and you're like, yeah, he's a one. Was last night, maybe I'm hyping it, it felt like a little breakthrough that he had the awful drop and then the great catch with a backup. And I felt like, little bit of a breakthrough night for CD, that he came back and made the play of maybe the year offensively. Am I overstating it, or did you feel it was pretty interesting night for CD overall?
Yeah, I thought it was very important for him to come back like that. Even the other 88s, Dez was there. Drew Pearson's been calling him out. Michael Irvin. I mean, there's a legacy that comes with that position, and so much pressure was on him as the number one wide receiver. And quite honestly, first game, not good. Second game, better. Third game, horrible drop. And I think he was really upset with himself. Cooper Rush needs help. He's not a great quarterback, but he needs, and Noah Brown's sitting there stepping up for him, and he wasn't getting it from CeeDee Lamb. So I do think that was very important, and I think it was important. It was a real breakthrough that used the discretion to get on social. I mean, you actually sat on that idea and didn't tweet something. That was good.
Yes. I'm growing, Matt. I'm growing as a human being. So I sometimes over the course of a season, you can be optimistic about something, and then you see it develop. The Cowboys pass rush. I've watched back-to-back weeks, and I'm like, all right, DeMarcus Lawrence has re-arrived. Micah wasn't even all healthy. Can we say this morning, the strength of this team going forward is the pass rush?
Yeah. No, I think that's the greatest part of this team right now. And the fact that Parsons was not at his best and Lawrence was able to step up, because Lawrence has taken a back seat. And he's not the kind of personality that loves taking a back seat. But he's been okay with Micah Parsons becoming the headliner. Micah Parsons showed up with a bottle of Pedialyte last night. The man had had some issues during the week. And yet he went out there and didn't have a sack, but had a ton of pressures. You know, played his usual game, but he didn't have to be the star in this game. They got it from other areas. Dorrance Armstrong, another play. You followed him since his Kansas days. He crashed down and made some plays. So I think you're right. I think Dan Quinn is the star of this coaching staff. And I think the pass rush is the whole story for the Cowboys. And everything sort of works off of that, including the DB's ability to get some of those interceptions. And I think we may have seen Diggs. The dam may break now. He needed to get his first interception, and now I could see that leading to quite a few of them.
All right, minute and a half left. I watch all the penalties, and I'm like, the penalties don't mean you're poorly coached. Lincoln Riley said it earlier this year. He goes, some penalties I like, aggressive penalties. So you hit a second late. There are good penalties, bad penalties. They had a lot of penalties last night. Were you okay with it, though? Did you still feel they were kind of buttoned up?
Well, yeah, somewhat buttoned up, because I'm comparing it to, like, the preseason. They had, like, 15 penalties in a game, or, like, 16. It really is McCarthy, and he talked about it. Hey, some of this is September football. I'm afraid that sort of reinforces some of the mistakes. Hey, guys, here's your excuse. It's still early in the season, so we're going to make some of this. They got to clean it up. It was a dumb call, by the way, on Donovan Wilson for knocking the ball away, but they got to think about that. And I didn't even know it was a rule that if the referee has to go run after the ball, that's somehow a penalty. But they've got to think about things like that, and this is still somewhat of an undisciplined football team.
All right, Matt Mosley, great seeing you, co-host of the Doomsday Podcast. We use him at the volume. We love him here on the show. Great insight on the Cowboys, buddy. And you can feel, you know what? It's a road win with a backup. If you listen to Dallas radio this morning, they should be happy, right? Road win with a backup. That feels good.
Oh yeah. Yeah, back headed to the Super Bowl.
Now that's that. There you go. Matt Mosley, good seeing you, my man.
All right, you too.
My only takeaway is I think Green Bay and the Cowboys are a little similar. They're giant brands with a lot of fans that didn't grow up there. And so when they win one of those big games on television, Packers, Bears, Giants, Cowboys, networks love to put those games on. They love them. I mean, we love if you could bid on Packers, Bears. We know the Bears are dysfunctional, but it always gets a number. And the Cowboys, Giants game, I don't know what the number is last night. My guess is it did pretty well. So networks love to put those on. It's a standalone game. We all go crazy when Green Bay and Dallas win those games. But they always win those games. They always, you know, the Packers are, what, 11-1 against the Lions and Bears in the last And many of them just not even competitive games.
Did you see Dallas has Washington next?
Well, they'll roll over them.
They should. Washington's playing very badly. Ron Rivera looks like he might be in some trouble. Carson Wentz reverted to the old Carson Wentz last week. But, Colin, now you're looking at 3-1 Dallas heading into a big game against the Rams. Listen, I know Dak's probably going to be close to healthy. I'm not saying quarterback controversy, but if things are going smoothly with Cooper Rush, do you force Dak back out there against Aaron Donald?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Unequivocally.
Listen, Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 as a backup. It's Drew's job. This is Dak's job. I'm not worried about disrupting things. Dak is better than Cooper Rush.
No doubt about it.
Than Teddy Bridgewater.
But do we know he's 100%, or is Dak going to be like, shucks, Jerry's saying this nonsense. I got to get back out there.
Maybe that gives you another – that's a good point. Maybe that gives you another week with a backup, but it's Dak's team. Hour two, Hurt Hierarchy next.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.